Blog Talk Radio.
There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its words. It sounds like music in my ear. The sweetest name on earth. Tells me of a Savior's love who died to set me free. It tells me of His precious blood, the sinner's perfect plea. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because He first loved me.
Saints of God, good morning and welcome to another edition of Manna from Heaven. I hope you're all doing well on this beautiful Thursday morning. Well, let me just remind you that there's another prayer meeting going on today at 12 o'clock, if you can make it. Pastor Brenda and the POW Church are going to be meeting online to pray for what we're praying for, which is revival. The number there, in case you want to join them, at 12 noon today, it runs for an hour. The number is area code 267-807-9605. Again, area code 267-807-9605. The access code is 762-801-POUND. 762-801-POUND. Well, I'll be there to support them. They support us on Tuesday night, and it's only proper that we join forces with them and support them. Now, I know many of you are working and can't do it, but if you're home, if you have the available time, and you want to seek the Lord for yourself, join them for prayer. In addition, tomorrow night, 6:30, men's fellowship. I'm so excited about that. We get to meet with the men. The men's fellowship is bound to grow already. Brother Sterling has received notification that another church and another pastor are joining us for men's fellowship. So we're booming. We're growing, God is moving, and God is having His way for us. And for the month of March, the upcoming month of March, I have some wonderful, wonderful topics to share with you week after week on Manna from Heaven, and those will be listed in our monthly newsletter. All the topics coming here on Manna from Heaven coming in the month of March. I hope and pray that every series in February has been a blessing to you. Well, we know what's going on in the Ukraine. We know what Russia is doing. how the warmongers of Russia have already started their invasion, massive invasion, multifaceted invasion onto Ukraine, and we just need to pray for world peace. I got the email from Sister Linda Hart and from the prayer chain, and we're on it. We're praying. We're believing God. And PLW will be doing the very same thing at 12 noon. So we're looking at this series, victory in the last round. Victory. You know, life's hard, even the Christian life. There are many preachers on TV, on radio, that are just are promising God's people instant success, instant victory. That's not the case. That does not bear out in the Bible, and it does not bear out in life. Outline on page number 2. On Tuesday, we talked about Gad. Who is Gad? What does his name mean? Who was he the son of? And we talked about how he received the prophetic word from his father while his father was on his deathbed. So we looked at the name Gad, and we looked yesterday at the term a troop, or the phrase, a troop shall overcome him, letting us know, God is letting us know in his inspired word that you don't win every round in life. Sometimes in a particular round, it could be the second round, it could be the first, second, third, whatever round it is, sometimes we hit the canvas. Sometimes we're so overwhelmed by the enemy that he's able to connect, hit us on the jaw, and send us to the canvas. And the referee there is counting 5, 6, and you're so dazed, and you're trying to make it up before you get counted out by the count of 10. Sometimes we are overcome by a troop. Sometimes the opposing forces get the best of us. That's life. If you lived a little, you know that that's true. Even for the child of God. Even for the one whom the scripture says, if God be for us, who can be against us? Even for those whom the scripture says, through Christ, we are made more than conquerors. That's right. So today we want to look at how the tide of the battle turns. You see, yesterday we left off with Gad on the canvas, but today we find his enemy on the canvas. But he, Gad, shall recover. He, Gad, shall get up before the count of 10. He, Gad, will continue to punch until he lands and knocks out the enemy. The promise is, Jacob prophesied to his son, yeah, the enemy will land several good punches on you and almost defeat you. But in the end, you shall overcome. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks. We thank you because the Bible is not a book filled with lies and empty promises. The Bible is a book of truth and reality. We thank you, Lord, that the Bible tells us that we're going to have good days and we're going to have bad days. It tells us that there's going to be days in which we're on top of the world, and there's other days where we're just going to be down in the dumps. There's going to be days when we're in the victory circle, and there's going to be days when we're on the losing side. But glory be to God. In the end, in the last round, we shall be pronounced victorious. Bless us, O Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You see, if you quit when the enemy overwhelms you, you have defeated yourself. A troop shall overcome Gad. Yes, that's life. I hate to be redundant, but that's the reality of life. There's an old saying, you don't get to win them all. You don't get to win them all. Very few boxers like Rocky Marciano get to leave the boxing ring undefeated. Some of the best fighters in history have lost fights. And even those who have gone undefeated, like Rocky Marciano, have lost rounds. Rocky Marciano did not win every round of every, although he won every fight, he did not win every round of every fight. Yes. No matter how wonderful you think you are, no matter how wonderful and skilled you imagine yourself to be, someone will get the best of you someday. And if you're embarrassed, just pick yourself up and say, I'll get them the next round. Because your destiny in Christ is that you shall be victorious in the end. So the tide of the battle turns as you realize that you are not destined for defeat, but you're destined for victory. See, that's what you have to remember. Gad had to remember that he was going to lose sometimes, but he was not destined to be a loser. He was destined to be a victor. So, okay, you're on the canvas. You're dazed. You're embarrassed. The cameras are flashing. You know, the next day in the newspaper, you just know that the picture on the back of the sports page is going to show you on the ground. But you can change that picture. How do you change that picture? Get up, keep punching, and knock out your opponent. The opponent is Satan. The opponent is the wicked one. We saw yesterday how Satan came after Job. And how in coming after Job, he used the Sabaeans and he used the Chaldeans to come after Job. To overwhelm him, to overcome him, to take his wealth, to take his riches, to kill his servants, to kill those who worked for him. Boy, did Satan overcome Job. Job didn't know what hit him. And Job was a man of God. He didn't know what hit him. And yet, did Job stay on the ground? No. Job picked himself up because he knew he was not destined for defeat. He was destined for victory. We shall overcome. We shall win the fight. We shall stand in the victor's circle if you can just pick yourself up and remember that you're destined for what? For victory. Now, let me give you two examples out of the life of St. Paul so that you can see that nothing goes easy for any Christian, any child of God. You're going to have your defeats. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. The Apostle Paul had just founded this church. This is a baby church. This is an infant church, if you will. And the Apostle Paul had just founded it. And he was missing the Thessalonians. He had, you know, he's an apostle. He's a traveling church founder. He founded a church, established it, and moved on to another location. But while he was at another location, his heart was aching because he missed the infant saints, the new babes in Christ. So he was trying to make his way back to them. He says, I want to see you. I want to be with you. And in verse 17 of chapter 2 of 1 Thessalonians 2:17, but we, brethren, referring to him and his missionary team, but we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, we endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Wherefore, when we would have come to you, even I, Paul, once and again, I tried again and again, but Satan hindered us. Paul knew that this infant church needed him, and he was trying to get back to them. But no matter what route Paul took, Satan blocked his way and did not let Satan get to that young, did not let Paul get to that young church. He said, Satan stopped me cold, stopped me dead in my tracks. And I tried to outmaneuver him and I tried to outflank him, but he hindered me. I couldn't get to you. Now, brothers and sisters, is not God on Paul's side? Yes, he is. Is not Jesus on Paul's side? Yes, he is. Is not the Holy Spirit on Paul's side? Yes, he is. Is not God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit omnipotent? Yes, they are. But notice, Paul had to confess because we live in a real world. Not everything works out the way you draw it on the piece of paper. Not everything works out smoothly. In life, we are battling forces of darkness. We are contending with the evil one. And this is why we have to take on the shield of faith and the helmet of salvation and the breastplate of truth. We got to be dressed in the full armor of God so that in the evil day, in the day in which he attacks us, we may remain standing and not knocked out. So here Paul says, I tried. Once again, even I, Paul, I tried coming to you, but Satan would have none of it and prevented me from getting to you. There are people out there that claim that they can bind the devil and they can bind spirits. And they, well, why? Paul knew none of that. If that is so true that we can bind the devil and bind spirits, why didn't Paul just bind Satan? Why not? Oh, because the people who bind the devil and bind demons today don't know the Bible. They don't know Scripture. They're clueless. They're fanatical. And this is why they teach idiotic doctrines. Here the Apostle Paul said, I tried to get to you, but Satan defeated me. I was not victorious on that occasion. Now, how did St. Paul win at the last? How did St. Paul actually meet his goal of comforting the Thessalonians? Well, the Holy Spirit came to his aid. The Holy Spirit came upon Paul, and Paul took pen to paper, and he wrote down this beautiful epistle called 1 Thessalonians, and he, after writing it, he gave it to Timothy, and Timothy went did an end around on the devil, and he took the letter to the Thessalonians, and that's how Paul won at the last, with an inspired letter by the Holy Spirit. A letter that even blesses us today. Not only did it bless the Thessalonians, but look at the dual purpose of that letter. So yeah, Paul lost that day. And he lost on his successive attempts to get to the Thessalonians. But in the end, he won because he reached them with an inspired letter. And today he even reaches us. You see, if you keep punching, if you keep at it, you'll win at the end, and Satan will be foiled. Let me take you to 2 Timothy. That was 1 Thessalonians. Let's go to 2 Timothy. And in 2 Timothy chapter 4, here again, Paul is giving us a dose of reality. He says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. He did me much harm. See, Paul didn't win every battle. Paul, again, he's just testifying. This guy, Alexander, who was part of a guild, who was part of an ancient union of idol makers, and Paul was preaching against idolatry, so he was hurting Alexander and his coppersmith in their pocketbook because people were turning to Christ and turning away from idols. Alexander losing out on money, the guild in an uproar, and came and attacked Paul. Paul says, this man was used of Satan. He did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Of whom, when you are there, be aware of him also. He's still there. He's still a tool of Satan, Timothy. He did me much evil, and he's still around. He's still standing. And watch out, because you as the pastor now, he's going to come after you. He greatly withstood our words. Then Paul goes on to say, and at my first court appearance, at my first answer, no man stood with me. Another defeat. Now Paul speaks of another defeat. Expecting the saints of Rome, of the Church of Rome, to show up at his court hearing. He says, at my first court hearing, at my first appearance before Caesar, at my first answer, no Christian, no saint of God from the Church of Rome, not one of the men of the church, not one of the women stood with me, but all forsook me. I pray to God it may not be laid to their charge. Now notice, to Alexander the coppersmith, he says, may God reward him according to his deeds. But for the saints who forsook him, he says, God, don't count it. Don't put it on their account. Verse 17, notwithstanding their forsaking me, the Lord stood with me, strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that the Gentiles might hear that I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Again, you see, Paul was in big trouble. Paul was about to be decapitated for being a preacher of Jesus Christ. And that's why none of the Roman saints wanted to associate themselves with him in public, because they too would have been arrested and beheaded. They too would have received capital punishment. So they all chickened out, and Paul was left by himself. Can you imagine Paul, how depressed he must have been to look in that courtroom, hoping to see Christians, hoping for some source of encouragement? And none of them showed up. What a depressing day. I can't imagine what Paul must have felt like to have no church support on one of his toughest days. But who showed up? Jesus did. Who showed up in the last round? Jesus did. And he says, and the Lord strengthened me. And because he strengthened me, I want all the Gentiles to know how I was taken out of the mouth of the lion. The lion was about to swallow me, gulp me down. I was about to be history. I was about to vanish off the face of the earth. And God pulled me out of the mouth of the lion. The same way David pulled out a lamb out of the mouth of the lion in 1 Samuel 17. Jesus did that for me. He pulled me out of the mouth of the lion. He gave me the victory in the last round. And then in verse 18 he says, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. You see, my brothers and sisters, there are tough days. There are tough days for everybody, even for the great saints. There are some dark, stormy, gloomy, depressing days. But if you keep at it, remember the prophecy, remember the promise, but Gad shall overcome. Why? Because Jesus shows up to help Gad. When Paul was trying to get to the Thessalonians and couldn't, the Holy Spirit aided him, caused them to write a letter so inspired of God that it's part of the canon of Scripture. So much inspiration in that book that we have it today, and we turn to it and we draw great strength from 1 Thessalonians. You see, my brothers and sisters, it looks bad at the moment of conflict. It looks bad when you're down on the canvas. But remember, the prophecy is we win. So therefore, get up. Because when you get up, God will show up. Don't give in. Don't have your manager throw in the towel, and don't you throw in the towel. Don't you stay there on the ground until the referee counts you out. Get up, because you are destined for victory. Well, Saints, that'll do it for today. Tune in tomorrow as we wrap up this series, as we end with the phrase, at the last. He shall overcome at the last. Love you much in Jesus. God bless you.
I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, buried deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. All my heart to him I give, ever to him I cling. In his blessed presence live, ever his praises sing. Love so mighty and so true merits my soul's best songs. Faithful loving service to him belongs. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love.